We're going to do something today that we haven't done in months. Turn to chapter 10 of John. We have finished chapter 9. Problem is, chapter breaks that we know in our Bibles. You have chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 12, whatever, okay? The scripture, when it was written down, was not written in chapters and verses. All right. Now, I'm glad it is. Okay, can you imagine what it would be like to find something in this book if it wasn't so designated? And it's usually not an issue, but as we move from chapter 9 to chapter 10, it becomes a little bit of an issue. And here's the reason. Because we think when a chapter starts, stops, and one starts, everything changes. New people, new events. Well, that's not the case. From chapter 9 of John to chapter 10, it's the same people, and Jesus is dealing with the same issue, not the blind man now. The blind man was simply for the purpose of God demonstrating his works to the people, okay? But the same thing that was happening at the end of chapter 9, Jesus is still dealing with it in chapter 10. Does all that make sense? Okay, so that may be more my problem than yours, all right? These chapter breaks are helpful, but they can be misleading. So just pick up your thought process where we left off when we closed chapter 9 last week. Simply stated, in chapter 9, Jesus is dealing with the issue of false shepherds. Now, it dealt with the blind man who was healed, of course, okay? But, and Jesus cares, and he cared for this man, and he gave him his sight. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. But his purpose in all of that was to point out that the shepherds that the people were following were blind shepherds and guilty. And so now what he's going to do is fix that problem in chapter 10. You with me? That's what he's doing this morning as we turn to chapter 10. Verses 1 through 30 of chapter 10, this was kind of an issue as well. There were some folks that called it a metaphor. There were others that called it an allegory. Others called it a parable. A few have called it a parable, not many. For those of us who know little or nothing about that kind of literature and all, those are figures of speech. With a metaphor, it's a figure of speech in which a word for one idea is used in place of another to describe the latter. Got that right? We okay there, Jamie? Where are you? She skipped out today, okay? Fine day to not be here, all right? So, I'm not sure. But down in verse 6, if you'll read there real quickly, it says, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." So, the Holy Spirit calls it a figure of speech. All right, let's begin. Read in verse 10, chapter 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him," verse 3, "to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him," flee from the stranger, "for they do not know the voice of strangers." And again, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And this goes on through verse 30, this metaphor of the sheep and etc. We need to be careful, though, when we look at figures of speech in Scripture, whether it's a metaphor, an allegory, or a parable. What we have a tendency to do is dissect too closely those figures of speech. And we can, if you don't watch it, create truth or teachings that were not meant to be truth or teachings. There's a central truth is what I'm saying. There's a central truth. And so if you get into the nuances of what Jesus is getting into here, which is sheep ranching, you can get off into some weeds, and it's not where you need to be. The central truth is what we're after, okay? So I say all that so that we don't get, you know, stuck in a place we don't need to get stuck in. And we can make things out of examples that were not meant to be emphasized. All right. With all of that, what Jesus is dealing with in the first 30 verses is, we'll call it a metaphor, and if that's not right, you'll correct me afterwards, I'm sure, okay? But the metaphor he's using is sheep ranching. Sheep ranching. Now, I should have asked before we started, but some of you probably know a lot about sheep, all right? David Whitlock, an elder that served here for a number of years, was a sheep expert, okay? I know nothing about sheep. I don't, okay? And so I had to spend a lot of time this week just, you know, getting on board with sheep, all right? So since this is Jesus' figure of speech to explain this central truth, we probably all need to get on the same page as far as sheep is concerned. In this day and time, this was very familiar to these people. Sheep ranching was their livelihood for the most part. Andy alluded to just a minute ago, the night that the proclamation was made to the shepherds, what were they doing? Watching their sheep outside of Bethlehem there. And so it was just, it's kind of like raising cattle around here. You know, everybody knows about it, and maybe some know a lot about it. So these people are very familiar with this, and he uses something that's familiar to them to teach them this central truth that we're going to look at this morning. He is pointing out the fact that those shepherds that they were following, those false shepherds, the Pharisees, okay, those spiritually blind individuals, those people who were still guilty, although they thought they had cornered the market as far as the kingdom of God was concerned, what he's saying is those guys are not who you want to follow. I'm the true shepherd. That's the central truth. I am the true shepherd, Jesus is saying. So we want to focus in there this morning. When we talk about this issue of shepherd, it's prolific throughout Scripture. 500 times sheep are mentioned in the Scripture. I didn't count them all, okay? I can Google with the best of them. And 500 times sheep are mentioned in Scripture, more than 500 times. In Genesis 48, 49, Psalms 23, 28, 78, and 80, Isaiah 40, Jeremiah 31, these aren't the sheep passages, okay? Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 13, all deal with shepherd, God as a shepherd. So you see how prolific this whole undertaking is? And Jesus is using it to teach this central point that he is the true shepherd. In fact, in Revelation 7:17, he is the chief shepherd. The lamb will be their shepherd. We sang about the lamb this morning. We didn't coordinate that. Andy and I didn't. That's okay, but we just don't do that. But did you hear the lamb coming out through the songs that we sang this morning? So, from chapter 9, your shepherds are bad shepherds. Jesus is telling them. They are spiritually blind. They're guilty. They're not true shepherds. So, let's look a little bit more in depth about this. I want us to set the background for this because it carries all the way through these first 30 verses that we won't get to this morning. We're going to get to verse 1. But we want to look at sheep. There's some real issues that address where we're going, okay? We're going to look at shepherds, and we want to look at the sheepfold. That was in verse 1 here. So quickly this morning, sheep are popular in the Bible. Like I say, over 500 times they're mentioned. They're a dual-purpose animal. They provided meat and wool. And a lot of times they would have twins. So they're a real good investment for that day and time, and maybe still yet in that part of the world. They're easy to care for. They're good foragers. They'll eat just about anything, even noxious weeds. You can manage them if you want to nomadically. That means you turn them out and you just follow. Remember over in Joseph when his dad sent him to find his brothers who were somewhere way, way off with the flocks. Because in that day, the nomadic way of sheep ranching was to put the sheep out there and then follow them. And you might be, you know, long, long way from home. And his brothers were that time when he had that coat of many colors and they put him in the pit, that kind of thing, okay? They're small enough to carry if one gets hurt. You cattle folks, and I think most of us realize if you get an old cow sick out in the pasture, you don't pick her up and carry her to the house. Not going to happen. In fact, it's maybe an all-day task getting her to the house. A sheep rancher, though, got a lamb that's down. He just goes over, picks it up, and carries it where he wants to care for it, to doctor, whatever. They're easy to train. We heard Jesus talking here about my sheep know my voice. Well, that's true of sheep and a shepherd. We're going to see in a minute where they, at night, if they're not nomadically following them around, but if they're just, you know, herding their sheep there and turning them out to pasture in the day and bring them at night, they would bring several flocks, different shepherds, several flocks, into a common sheepfold. Well, how do you get your sheep out of there? They don't have ear tags. They don't have brands on them, those kind of things. But they have the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd would go to the sheepfold, literally, and call his sheep. And his sheep, and only his sheep, would follow him out to pasture. Now, that just impressed the dickens out of me, Jody. I tell you what, okay? Like to have that kind of deal. But Jesus is using this, and he said and he repeated, my sheep know my voice. And if there is a voice that's not my voice, they will not follow that voice, only mine. That's big, okay? Sheep are easy to train. They can be led opposed to driving them. They eat almost anything, but they're very subject to predators. We know in David's time, there's the bear and the lions and wolves, all kind of predators out there. And the sheep are not real smart. I'm not insulting you. They're not. They'll get their head down, I understand, and start eating and just eat and walk. And then they look up and they're lost. They don't know where they are. Or they'll be eating and they'll fall off into a big ditch or off the side of a hill. They're just not real smart. And they're not trying to hurt anybody. They just aren't very smart. And they wander off. And so one of the things that the shepherd had to do when he brought them home at night, and I say he, I'm not being sexist here, I just don't think that there were any women shepherd, you know. Correct me there if you want to, but I just don't see that is brought up. It was a man's job, I guess, all right? But anyway, at night he would bring them to the sheepfold. This sheepfold had rock walls, and it would be maybe 10 feet high. And the only way to get into the sheepfold was through the gate, the door. In a minute, Jesus is going to say, I am the door. That's big, okay? And the sheep then would go through the door, okay, the gate, whatever you want to call it, and the shepherd would count them, would count them. And he would know then if there were any sheep missing. And if there was a sheep that was missing, you know, he's supposed to have 100 and he only has 99. Jesus even said that. I'll leave the 99 and go find the one that didn't make it back. That's big too. So, I just learned a lot here, okay? And I just saw over and over again that following the Good Shepherd is a good thing to do. In fact, it means everything to follow the Good Shepherd and not the bad shepherds. So, this descriptor that Jesus is using, this sheep, are for his people. You with me? Possessive there? His people. And I'm sorry, but I drifted off in my thinking. But that's not all people. That's not all people. Go over to Matthew 25 with me. Matthew 25. I thought this was fascinating. The best commentary on Scripture is Scripture, okay? Now look at verse chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man, who's that? Jesus, okay? He refers to himself scores of times in Scripture that he is the Son of Man. Nobody else does. There's a question over there in John where they ask him, who is this Son of Man? But when the Son of Man, this is Jesus, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he came the first time as a babe in a manger, as the Redeemer, as the one who would die on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, this is the resurrected Jesus. When he comes in his glory, this is the resurrected Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. When he comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another. You see the groups now? So not everybody's sheep. Not everybody is his sheep. All right. And he separates... he will separate people from one to the other, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on the left. Then the king, capital K, will say to those on his right, king and son of man, same person. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous, the sheep, the ones on the right, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and welcome you, or naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick, or in prison, and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, these people don't know they did it. They are doing it because that's who they are. That's their nature. So don't go out here and start running to the jails and all that kind of thing to visit people. And you can do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But that's not going to get you in the sheep line. Okay? If you're in the sheep line, you've been doing that all along by nature, and it's his nature in you. It's a new nature in Christ Jesus. Because this is what he did when he was here. You with me? So you're not going to need to get your tablet out and start taking out. Well, I went to the jail on Thursday night, and I fed some people down. No. Okay? Now listen to the others. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats. He divided them, sheep and goats. depart from me, you cursed. Now, I know we have some goat people in here, but I've cursed a few goats myself, to be honest with you. Not a big goat fan. I struggle with goats, but that's my problem, okay? I shouldn't have gone there. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Different group. Same big group, divided right and left. Are you with me? Not everybody's a sheep. Only the people that Jesus say are sheep are sheep. It gets worse. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison and you did not visit me. Notice verse 44. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The goats even know he's Lord. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, naked or sick in prison, did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So when I came to this place in this my sheep, Jesus is saying, are those who belong to me. Now I believe that everyone can belong to him. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, but not all will come to him. Hence the two groups at the end of the age, the sheep and the goats. Now, I believe initially this is Israel, okay? Because Jesus said, I've come but for the lost house of Israel, all right? But praise his name, sheep are now created through faith in Christ and Christ alone, okay? So initially, he came but for the lost house of Israel. He did recognize a few Gentiles who exhibited great faith. One place he said, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. And he wasn't real kind to Gentiles while he was here. But God, in his infinite mercy, extended his grace to us as Gentiles. And the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, took the gospel, and because of his grace being extended to the Gentiles, we sit in a place as followers of Jesus Christ today with the same promises that are afforded to those who he initially came for. You still with me? All right, that'll get you in the weeds sometime with some people, okay? I also thought it was interesting. Sheep have 54 chromosomes. Goats have 60 pairs of chromosomes. Glad the kids are up there. It is possible, okay, for sheep and goats, because a lot of times they're just mingled together out there by the same shepherd. Sheep and goats will recreate, okay? It's not typical, but they're animals, okay? And the goat, sheep, whatever, that's born to that sheep, crossed with a goat, always is stillborn. I don't know. Okay. Too much, somebody said. Okay. All right. Shepherds. All right. Sheep. Shepherds. Shepherds, the one who takes care of the sheep. The sheep are the property of the shepherd. Does that bother anybody? I want to be the property of King Jesus, the true shepherd. I'm okay with that. All right? The sheep belong to the shepherd. He chose them. He bought them. He redeemed them. In fact, they're his sheep because of him. They didn't say, you know, it's not one of those deals. I don't know if you've ever been to a cattle auction or not, okay? Some of us spend too much time at those places. But you go in there, and I've yet to see an old cow come into the ring, okay? And it stops. She said, the guy up there in the top row, I want him to buy me. Not going to happen. You city kids are saying, oh. Not going to happen, okay? Jesus chose his sheep. All right? Now, I know you can get into the weeds on that if you're Calvinist or not Calvinist. Don't go there. I'm just glad he did. For because he chose me, he redeemed me. And I'm his, and so are you, if you're in Christ Jesus. That'd be about as the same thing as you saying, yeah, over there, I'll take it. You can. No. From the foundation of the world. We won't go much further there. The sheep, the shepherd owns the sheep. And the sheep are the shepherd's priority. Now back to the real shepherds, I mean the ones that, with real sheep and that kind of thing. They spend all of their time with those animals. In fact, at night, as they go into the sheepfold, the sheep, the shepherd will lay down in front of that opening, or a hireling, okay, a gatekeeper, it's called it in Scripture, so that the sheep don't come out and nothing goes in. The shepherd loves the sheep, and he gives his life for the sheep. Well, didn't Jesus do that for us? He gave his very life, and he cares for us. Go read the 23rd Psalms if you haven't in a while. That'll be very appropriate. Let me share with you something I found, and this helped me a lot get a handle on this. I don't know who to give credit to, but somebody knew about sheep ranching. The duties of the shepherd in an unenclosed country like Palestine were very onerous. In the early morning, he led forth the flock from the fold, marching at the head, leading the sheep, to the spot where they were to be pastured. Here he watched them all day, taking care that none of the sheep strayed. And if any for a time eluded his watch and wandered away from the rest, seeking diligently, he found that one and brought it back. I love that. In those lands, sheep require to be supplied regularly with water. And the shepherd, for his purpose, has to guide them either to some running stream or to wells dug in the wilderness and furnished with troughs. So he leads them to the water. At night, he brought the flock home to the fold, counting them as they passed under his rod at the door to assure himself that none were missing. Nor did his labors always end with sunset. Often he had to guard the fold through the dark hours from the attack of wild beasts and of the wily attempts of prowling thieves. The shepherd calls all the shots for the sheep. He leads them. They can't even drink unless he takes them to the water. He meets their every need, who provides for them protection, places to graze. He fights every enemy that comes into their existence, whatever it may be. And the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them, and they know his voice. Every one of them. He's not lost one sheep and never will. Let's look at the sheepfold real quickly. That's a part of verse 1. This thing called a sheepfold was an enclosure. If the sheep were not provided for nomadically, following them around out there where the just wandering after them, which was done, okay? But if they brought them back to a sheepfold at night, as I said, in many places, this was a common place where a lot of shepherds brought their sheep here. It had a wall, as I said, 10 feet high, rock wall, okay? So when he talks about climbing over, we're talking about something that would be pretty difficult task to do, but could be done. Oftentimes, they would employ a hireling or a gatekeeper, an under-shepherd, to guard the gate. And sometimes they would even sleep in the gate of the sheepfold so nothing could come in and no sheep could go out. This allowed for counting, protection, wandering off at night, all those kind of things was prevented. Sheep can only get in the sheepfold through the gate, through the door. Again, Jesus is going to say, I am the door. I am the door. You can't get in the sheepfold. In fact, he said here that those who enter by another way are thieves. And they're seeking to do damage to the sheep that are in the sheepfold. Only the shepherd or hireling had access by way of the gate to the flock. Anyone else was there to hurt sheep, steal sheep. Now, my problem, not yours. Is this the church or heaven? The sheepfold. What is it representative of? It's not. He's not talking about literal sheepfolds here. He's talking of it's a metaphor, okay? Is the sheepfold the church or heaven? And I spent quite a while just, you know, yes. Yes. Is there a difference between the sheepfold being the church and the sheepfold being heaven? The only difference that I could come up with is location. Yeah. Because, folks, if you are a part of the body of Christ, the church, Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, who do you think's going to heaven? You see? Oh, you're just saying, oh, would you hurry? I got stuck there. It doesn't matter. We're having church today here. The church is gathered here locally. And that quick, we could be having church there. Ah! Both. All right? All right. Now, with that introduction, we're going to be quick here, okay? Verse 1. So with this metaphor in mind, the sheep, the sheepfold, the shepherds, verse 1 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So we've got the shepherd, we've got the sheep, they're in the sheepfold. It's nighttime, I guess, okay? That's when they put them in there. They're grazing during the day. And did you notice that Jesus started with this in what we call verse 1? What he's saying to these guys that are still standing there, same people, okay? He who doesn't enter by the sheepfold by the door but climbs up another way, that man's a thief or a robber. He's calling them thieves and robbers now. You're disguised as a shepherd, but you're not a shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. You're trying to steal sheep. Wow. Nailed them right there. Many are trying to get in the sheepfold. Then and now. In that day, Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. False shepherds. And down through the ages. And today, many are trying to get into the sheepfold for the purpose of herding sheep. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And you don't get in except through me, and if you climb up another way, you're a thief or a robber. So thieves and robbers don't enter by the gate, the door. They don't go through the shepherd to get to the sheepfold. They want access to the sheep, and they get access to the sheep, but they climb up, come another way. They sneak in, or try to sneak in. In verse 10, we didn't get there today. Jesus said, the thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. My point here is, there are thieves and robbers, even today, still today, and will be until Jesus comes for his church, that are trying to destroy the sheep in the church. True sheep. It's going on all the time. Who are these thieves and robbers? What are they stealing? Well, they're wanting to steal the kingdom from the sheep, if it could be done. They're trying to hurt the kingdom. Are you paying attention to what's going on in the world today? You know, the stage is set. The curtain is going up. And I'm not trying to be dramatic today because I can't be. But try this on. A significant utility company in the nation of Argentina sent out the monthly bills. Okay? Just like utility companies around here. And you know how they put, they can stamp all the mailings? I don't know how they do that, but all the mailings. This particular big utility company in Argentina stamped on the bills, be patriotic, kill a Jew. 2014. Right now, to be a Jew, a Jewish person in places like in Europe, okay, you don't want to be. Persecution. Not like it was in Germany in World War II, but it's building there. There is a considerable agenda by pro-Jewish people to gather people to Israel just for safety's sake. The people who were in Argentina 2 years ago who were told you need to get out can't get out today. And Venezuela's worse. And you say, well, that's Jewish. Jewish people are a covenant people. All right? Read Revelation. They appear again, okay? And there is right now this, there are meetings in the White House, folks, discussing sanctions against Israel. This land, okay? And I don't know if you saw the press conference of the day when they brought this up to the press secretary. He looked like a bumbling idiot. And they quiz him, and it was just stammering stuff. Did you see that? The United States doing the same thing that we do to Iran, North Korea, and those places, and at the same time, we're lifting the sanctions, or wanting to, against Iran. Folks, the stage is set. The curtain's going up. And I don't mean to cause you a lot of, I tell you this, okay? You need to do two things, all of us. Grab hold and let go. Grab hold of Christ and Christ alone. If you're not in Christ Jesus this morning, you're on dangerous ground. Grab hold of your Lord and Savior if he's not making your Lord and Savior. And let go of the things in the world. All right? Once upon a time, I thought this was something maybe for my grandkids, grandkids or something. And I said to a person of the day, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Did you ever go over and read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog and Magog war? Never knew how that fit into end time events. Okay? Because Israel, it says, burns the weapons of war for 7 years. And then all of a sudden, it's coming into focus. Gog and Magog, power from the north. I believe the Islamic hordes of the Middle East are going to invade Israel. And God's just done. And you see, we've always had the mindset that as soon as the rapture of the church occurs, the Antichrist steps right. I'm not so sure. I think there's a time interlude there. Okay. Thieves and robbers. Herding sheep. Stealing sheep. False teachers. Promoting false teachings. False doctrine. All their agenda is destruction. They are here in the church today. I mean, okay? This is not just something going on in Jesus' day. There are false teachers promoting false doctrine. Their agenda is destruction. Their mission is to snatch up the seed of the gospel. Remember that parable that Jesus taught, the parable of the sower? One says that the gospel, the word of the kingdom, was spread, okay? And the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. Who's doing that? Who's doing that? False teachers, thieves and robbers, snatching away the gospel. When he explains this, those are agents of the devil. Okay? You're saying, you're just being too graphic today. No, no. Graphic. All right? Because you need to do what a sheep does when they see somebody crawling up over the wall. Start bat. Run. Shepherd. And don't follow them. Don't follow them. They're good. Their plan is to hurt the sheep, to destroy the sheep, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Why? Well, one, just personal profit. Every day, Andy, I don't know if you get this or not, maybe some of the rest of you, I get a half dozen. I don't count, but it just click, 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 delete, okay? Of people with a ministry who want some money. Now, there are legitimate people in ministry, don't get me wrong. But they're everything under the sun. Selling this, doing this, all coming here and do that and be, you know, and on and on and on it goes. I think a lot of the false teachers are in it just for profit. We're suckers. We really are. For power. One of the things we as human beings crave in the flesh is power. To be in charge. And you want a title to go with it. Right? I'm the president of, or the director, this kind of thing, okay? Power, status, ego. And like that sower parable, agents of the devil himself. All for one reason. Not to take care of the sheep, but to hurt the sheep. To hurt the sheep. So I would advise us to do something. If in doubt, take it to the shepherd. Shepherd Jesus. What about this guy? What about this gal? Okay, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. And if you were a sheep and there was this wolf that was just coming on you like this, what would you do? Would you counsel him? Huh? Run to the shepherd. Okay? These thieves and robbers